Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go in our Bibles to Matthew 13 and 24 through verse 30, a parable that Jesus put forth concerning the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. When you read your Bible, for the most part, when you read concerning the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven was the things you do on earth that gets you there. And the kingdom of God are things that are done there that's put inside of you. That's the difference. And so he talks about the kingdom of heaven, the things that we do here that gets us there. So let's read about that this morning. Matthew 13 and 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed. Everyone say good seed. In his field. Say his field. It was good seed, and he owned the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The enemy came into his field and sowed bad seed and left. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, his seed, his good seed, it sprung up, it brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go, since it's an enemy that did this, would you like for us to go and gather them up? We'll pay them back. We'll get rid of them. And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you get my seed too. You root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until things get ripe. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Hallelujah. I want to read one other proverb. It says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Wow. I'm going to try to put these two together, believe it or not. And I'm going to say, wait for the ripe time. Yeah. Wait for the ripe time. Don't meddle with it. Don't mess with it. Lord, I'm thankful that there is times and seasons for everything. You said as long as there is an earth, you said there would be times and seasons. There'll be a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to love, a time to hate, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Lord, wherever anybody finds themselves today, they're in that season where God can deal with them. And I'm asking you today, everybody that showed up, whether they be visitors or just a regular member, God, it is time for we should cast in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Wait for the ripe time. Don't meddle with it. It is important that we don't miss our harvest. The most important thing for every one of you is to be saved. The next most important thing to me is that I help save others. That's it. That's the next most important thing is the harvest. I feed off of my harvest. I feed off of people we bring into church and we grow them in the spirit. I feed off of my children. You see, I was just listening to Melanie sing and David played the guitar. That was feeding me. That's my harvest, you see. I could have said, well, I don't need kids. I'm just going to live my life. That's good. I don't have a harvest, though. But because I have children and raised them in the church, I am feeding off of what I did and sowed in them. Hallelujah. And now I got a grandbaby on the way. We'll get some more harvest out of that. Hallelujah. So we read in the Bible that there are times of fruition. There's times you come into that season of ripeness. I'm calling it the ripe time. And yes, he did say to cast in the sickle, for the harvest is, yeah, not almost ripe. It's not green. It is ripe. It is ready. It is ready to pick. It is white. It is ready to be picked. So even Esther, the Bible says, came into the kingdom for such a time as this. It was the ripe time. If she would have been born 30 years younger, it wouldn't have mattered. We'd not even have a book called Esther. But because God brought her into the focus right at the ripe time, now we know all about Mordecai and the Jews and how they was going to be obliterated. And it was her, through her willingness to be a used vessel. She at first said, I don't want to do this. Let somebody else do this. But if she was the right person at the right time, and the harvest came in. Hallelujah. I'm talking to people this morning. I'm here to tell you, you are the right person at the right time to bring in the harvest. Don't miss it. Don't miss your harvest. God brought the children of Israel out of a wilderness place. It was dry. You know, the trip to Canaan land was only supposed to be a couple weeks. But they turned it into 40 years. And you know, the Lord, when he brought them out of Egypt bondage through the wilderness, the Bible says he brought them to the brinks of Jordan right at the time of the first fruits. He brought them right at the ripe time. It was the time when everything, when God brings you into your harvest season, no matter how dry it was yesterday, no matter how long you've been out there wondering, can God provide a table in the wilderness? I'm telling you, when you come into your harvest, it will be the ripe time. Some people won't receive instructions until it's the ripe time. You can tell Peter and John how to fish all day long, Jesus, if you want to. But you got to wait until they've toiled all night and caught nothing. And they're frustrated and they're, well, I don't know, Master, we've toiled all night. It was ripe for them to receive instructions. They'd have been earlier, a few hours early. No, we still got it under control. Jesus, we got a few hours left before we're going to keep going. But because they had failed, they said, nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast in the net. And what happened? They filled the net full so much that it would break, and they had to call for help. The harvest was, help me, ripe. It was the right time for them to receive instructions. Abraham, as he walked through the land of Canaan, see, God sent him as a precursor to the children of Israel getting there. If you might remember, Abraham sojourned through the land of Canaan before the children of Israel actually ever got there. And so what we see is Abraham goes through and he says, I'm not going to meddle with you. I won't look to the right and I won't to the left. I'll dig my own wells. I don't want your bread. I don't want your water. I don't want anything from you. I'm just a sojourner who's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not going to mess with the world because I'm headed to heaven. Don't meddle with the world unless you get them stirred up and you get them angry and it hinder your journey. Naomi left her land of nativity. She said this. She said, I went out full, but I'm going back empty. But even though she had made some mistakes in her life, my brothers and sisters, look what happened when she finally got back to her land of nativity. She arrived right at the time of the barley harvest. Oh, God knows how to, even through your mistakes, even through things you do wrong, even through all the things that people hinder you from doing, you can still get there. God's got a plan to stall you, to keep you until you finally arrive at the ripe time, right at the beginning of the barley harvest. And here's Boaz out there, just got an abundant, he got a big harvest. And see, God was doing something with Boaz while Naomi was and Ruth was over there in Moab. And he had so much that he just said, leave her some handfuls of purpose. You know the story. So it was the ripe time. Hallelujah. The ripe time is not necessarily when you enjoy your own fruit. Sometimes you get to enjoy somebody else's fruit.
He said, I'll bring you to a land where you'll drink water from wells you didn't dig. You'll eat fruit from trees you didn't plant. You'll live in houses that you didn't build. Oh, that's the right time. That's for me. Hallelujah. I want everything God's got for me. Hallelujah. Even though I don't do it, God, the Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. It's the ripe time to move into your harvest. In this parable, we discover that it was the enemy's job to try to hinder you from enjoying your harvest, the ripe time. It's how you deal. Now listen close. It's how you deal with your enemy that will determine if you get to enjoy your harvest. The enemy's job, you see, he comes but to steal, to kill, to destroy. He comes to hinder you. But he can't do anything unless boss man says he can. But what the devil wants to do, if you're going to make it to heaven, he wants you miserable getting there. Jesus said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I want you to enjoy the journey. I want you to enjoy the trip. But the devil's job is, if he can't stop you from getting there, he'll make you miserable trying to get there. I've said this before, that if you, I know how to, I don't know if any of y'all drive a new Mercedes or anything, but if you did, I don't have to steal your car to make you miserable. Mm-mm. I'll get me a key, and I don't even have to start it. And when you come out of the shopping center and you see your new Mercedes, I don't know about you, but every time I park my car, I can park 5 parking spaces away from anybody else, and somebody's going to park right by me. Is it you? I'm trying not to get the doors dinged. There's always somebody going to park, and it's this old clunker, you know? Anyway, that's just my burden. I'm carrying my cross, I guess. But I can make you, when you come out and you see your new Mercedes and that scratch on it, you go, oh my God, an enemy hath done this. I just catch who that was, Lord. And so you take it to the body shop and you get it all fixed up. You say, I ain't never going to park in Walmart again. I'm going to Target now. See, I can make you not enjoy that car. See, I can make you not enjoy it, because every time you get it fixed, the enemy comes and just puts a big old scratch on it. Before long, you'll be driving a clunker like everybody else. You'll say, what's the use anyway? I can't even enjoy my money. I can't even enjoy my car. I can't even enjoy the ride. What good does it do? And you get aggravated. And you can't even enjoy it. And the devil wants to keep you from enjoying your salvation. Oh, yes, he does. He wants to stop you and make you miserable. You may get there, but he wants to make the journey miserable. I'm here to tell you, we've got to not meddle with the devil. Say that with me. Don't meddle with the devil. Oh, I wish I'd have thought of that. I'd have made that my title. Don't meddle with the devil. Hallelujah. So in this parable, the devil wants to hinder this man from enjoying his harvest. And the hardest thing that you ever do, now listen, the hardest thing you will ever do is leave him alone. Leave your enemy alone. The easiest victory you will ever have, but the hardest thing you'll ever do is leave it alone. Did you hear that? The easiest victory you'll ever have, but the hardest thing you'll ever do is simply leave it alone. That's hard to do. Believe it or not, the Bible speaks quite frequently of meddling. Yeah, no amen. Nobody going to shout on that. Meddling makes matters worse. Solomon said that the beginning of strife is as one that letteth out water. And what he is speaking of is like tampering with something. It's like they were speaking of a reservoir that has an impoundment around it. And the water is at peace. But you say, I'm tired of getting a bucket to get my water. I'm going to cut me a little ditch right here. I'm going to cut a little ditch. I'm going to let that water out. Flow to my field and my field only. So you mess with it. You tamper with it. And so you cut you a little ditch. Just a little ditch. Just a little strife. Just a little argument. Just a little disagreement. And you cut that little ditch
so I can get me some of that water. And before long, my brother, that the water begins to flow through the ditch and the friction begins to cause erosion. And before long, you have flooded your field. And not only flooded your field, you flooded your neighbor's field. And now he's mad at you too. A little strife, he said, hey, don't meddle with it. Don't leave it alone. Oh, yes. And so it is that the Bible speaks about us meddling with things. Just leave it alone. The Bible speaks about, can I say this? About busybodies, gossipers, talebearers, and this is just a good word for all of them, nosy people. Putting their nose where it doesn't belong. We'll start a sniff every time. Somebody will sniff it out and say, what are you doing here? What business is it of yours? And before long, we got some problems. And so he's teaching us, it's like a man that's good, just going to flood his field, but now he's stirred up everybody. Hallelujah. The problem with meddling is that we lose focus of what matters the most. And we soon begin to judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. Yeah, you see, that was good right there. We judge others by what they did, but we judge ourselves by what we meant to do. Yeah, that's worth writing down right there. Yes, it is. We judge everybody else by what they did, but we judge ourselves by our own intentions. Well, I didn't mean for that to happen. You know, but we judge everybody else. Why did you do that? So what is the thing that matters the most in this parable? What is the thing that matters the most in your life? In this parable, it would be very easy to say revenge. Get that guy back for planting that bad seed. Let's remove the enemy. But what mattered the most was the harvest. What mattered the most was getting the seeds back that he had planted so he did not lose everything. There are three things that mattered the most in saving the harvest of this man. These three things are worth remembering: instructions, wisdom, and patience. Yes, instructions, wisdom, and patience. For the Bible says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Many people do the right thing, even at the right time, but they don't wait for it to mature so they can receive the blessings of God. They're in too big of a hurry to get the harvest. You still have to wait until it's ripe anyway. Hallelujah. But while this man was, the Bible said he slept. An enemy came and sowed tares, and he went away. Now, don't miss this part. While he slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares, and he went away. He left. So the Bible's not saying the man did wrong. When he says, and while he slept, just means he was going about doing other things. See, he lived on the farm. He lived for this crop. So he stayed on the premises. It was his property. But here comes the evil one. He goes, boop, see you later. Boop, see you later. And he dropped in bad seeds and left. Bad seed in the good ground of this man. Hallelujah. Unbeknowing to him. This kind of goes along with what Paul said, that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. When the ground is fertile, I'm here to tell you, it will receive both good and bad seed. When people are open and they're searching for God, it's easy to put a good or a bad seed in them. And a lot of times, I've planted a lot of good seed in people, and I spend a lot of time with them, and I'm up at night when they call, and I'm over there in the house, and I'm doing this, and somebody comes in while they're fertile and while they're open to things, and poof, I wouldn't trust him if I was you. See you later. Poof. I don't know why y'all go to that church. I could take, poof. And they go their way. Bye. They drop that bad seed and they go their way. If you just knew what I knew about him. If you just knew her like I know, you wouldn't be working for him if you knew what I knew. See y'all later. That, my friend, is your enemy.
Somebody said, I don't have any enemies. Oh, you better be aware. You better be vigilant. Hallelujah. You better be sober. You better wake up from that sleep and realize people that drop those bad seeds in there, that's your enemy. I don't care if it is your mother-in-law. Or your mother. Or your brother. Or your sister. It can even be your pastor if you're not careful, dropping them bad seeds in there. See y'all later. And you got to deal with it. And here I'm trying to help people, and I'm trying to resurrect them and restore them. And somebody, I wouldn't trust him if I was you. That's all it takes. And so this man is having to deal with this bad seed that was put in his fertile ground. He did the plowing. He did the watering. He did the disking. And somebody else just, whoop, here you go, and walks away and leaves him the problem. We're vulnerable. When people are broken, they are vulnerable. When the ground is broken, they are vulnerable. When you're searching for God, you are vulnerable. And there have been many times in my life that I worked hard to people to receive the right seed, and people sowed a bad seed and went their way, and I am left to deal with all the bad seed they put in. Or do I say to the person, well, I'm through with you because somebody else sowed a bad seed in you, so I am just through with you. No. No. Because the main thing is the harvest. It is the harvest. So the Bible says that he planted good seed and a blade sprung up and fruit actually showed up. And then appeared the tares. Then showed up what somebody else had done. He was unbeknown to him and now it shows up. What is this? Where did that come from? Say what? They did what? Who? Oh my God. What am I going to do now? See, you've got to use wisdom when it comes to this. Here's where that wisdom, the servants come to him knowing that an enemy had done this. And they said, sir, didn't you plant good seed? They're kind of almost setting him up, trying to get him to agree because those servants are hot. I mean, they've worked, they've hoed, they've toiled out there. And like, oh, my God, let me go talk to boss man. And they said, sir, did you not plant good seed into your ground? He said, yeah, I did. Why are you asking? Well, there's some tares out there. He said, there is? Oh, they're everywhere. Would you like for us to go out there and we'll just, oh, we're, we'll